Because you can handle the truth. Truth.
We are living in an artificially induced state of consciousness that resembles sleep. The poor and the underclass are growing. Racial justice and human rights are non-existent. We have been lulled into a trance. They have made us indifferent to ourselves, to others. We are focused only on our own gain. That is their primary method of survival. Keep us asleep, keep us selfish, keep us sedated.
You're listening to Toward Anarchy on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Here's your host, Michael Storm.
Okay, we're up to you. And, well, what an amazing show, as always. It's so great to have such a reasoned conversation with someone, and it just doesn't happen all the time. I get to do it at least once a week for an hour, so that's great. But it's only because I choose the guests. If it was if it was just random people, I wouldn't be so lucky as to even have an hour of good conversations every week. It's so hard to have a good quality conversation about something meaningful. I can talk to people all day long about games and Legos and toys and comic books and sports ball and all of these different things, and they're able to keep up their end of the conversation. But you start talking about money, you start talking about politics, particularly. It does sound like they stayed at that level, yes. Any of these, particularly when it comes to the possibility of government being good, is something that you hit on a little bit earlier in our conversation. It's a weird thing to have to explain force and coercion and involuntary actions to people, and I guess it's this innate need or a coward's response to either it's either an innate need to make themselves feel like they're a part of something, and I think that humans may be a little bit wired for that, particularly socially. We've been twisted that way over the years now, and it might be hard to turn that back. I find people unapproachable, and at a certain point, especially if you're talking about politics, they get angry if you suggest that they're wrong or that they hold an immoral position on something. And it's hard to have a conversation with someone when they're so passionate about it, and it's a different passion than I experience in talking about freedom versus talking about politics. They're not, you know, they're two different things by a long shot. So I it's a lot of what this show is about. It's a lot of why I'm here, about improving my own ability to communicate with people, about getting these ideas out. It's not about creating a soundboard, having somebody like yourself, Bradley, here to have a conversation with, whereas we think very much alike and are connected in our understanding of politics and economics and the law and a lot of these other really important areas that affect people's lives. The rest of us aren't connected like that, and we can't possibly hope to make that connection. And then so they're passionately attached to their world, and it's hard to disconnect people from that, and it's hard to get an honest conversation out of people.
Yeah, exactly right. There's a lot of emotional attachment that people bring to their political preferences. You know, brings out a lot of the tribal nature in humans, and we see that obviously big time with the R versus D, you know, tribal team sports kind of a nature. And you know, it's interesting when you look at some of the research in particular progressives, for example, you look at their worldview and where they're coming from, kind of this moral matrix, if you will, of what animates them. And they're really animated by, you know, care and concern for harm coming to others, especially those less fortunate in society. But then the natural next step is they view government intervention as a tool to alleviate that harm going to those less fortunate. And so I think it's really important for us to approach folks from within that moral matrix to get their attention. So we can talk about, you know, libertarians certainly can talk about, well, look at the war on drugs and how that's devastated the Black community, for example. Look at the war. I mean, even the war on poverty has not helped solve poverty. It's, in fact, made poverty worse. Look at, you know, the Federal Reserve. You talked about their pronouncements coming out recently. It's just going to make things worse. But look at how the Federal Reserve policy has exacerbated income inequality. I wrote an article that was published, I believe, at Libertarian Institute just a little while back. They talked about how the income and wealth inequalities created and exacerbated by the Federal Reserve also increases the wealth gap between the races, because minority communities have a lower home ownership rate. They have a lower rate of stock ownership. And when the Fed inflates bubbles, those are the bubbles that get inflated, right? The housing industry, and the stock market. And so that's just another way, so we can kind of reach out to progressives, and at least within that kind of moral matrix that they have, you can reach out and say, hey, look, the stuff that we, the stuff that libertarians protest, you know, against, like Federal Reserve, that's causing the kind of harm that you claim to care about. So let's have a discussion about that. So I think that's something to keep in mind. Yeah,
then when you get to that conversation, here's what happens. It, unfortunately, I keep having to do this because it keeps happening. This happens all the time. Well, you mentioned the Federal Reserve. Well, then they want to talk about who the current head is, or who the current president is, or who the current, you know, who's somebody who's running the show. Well, I have some news for you. It's 2020. That means that thing's been around for 107 years, and in that time, it has never functioned significantly any different than it does now, in that sense of how it manipulates money and how that trickles down to the rest of us, how it makes easy money available to the higher ups, as it were. The closer you are to the money, the better you're treated by it. You know, the further you are from the money, the worse off the percentages of lending to you are, and things. You know, the further down the chain you are, the more expensive it is for you to get a loan and things like that, all the way across the board. But they change the topic to the political topic. They go back because it's all they know, and they can't have the conversation. And it's really frustrating when you meet somebody who says they're a business person or that they're an economist. Oh, they start waving their degree or something in front of you, and they start talking about something, and they want to talk about money supply. I don't care about the money supply. I want to talk about the fact that the money itself is fake and it's not based on anything. I don't care what M1, M2, and M3 are, or if it's all fake to begin with. And so we end up having this it ends up being a political conversation instead of that core conversation about the values. And it seems like that's what ends up happening every single time. And then, of course, the political argument leads to an argument, not a discussion for trying to actually resolve or reach some sort of understanding. And that's why I ask if you have made any sort of concerted effort to surround yourself. But then I'm thinking about it differently in terms of Twitter. And I was looking at it during the break, and you can see me staring up here as the monitor. I have you in front of me and a bigger monitor over here on the side that has it. And I'm just looking at the Twitter, and I don't use Twitter, and I haven't found a successful way to use it yet. And so it really intrigued me when I saw how quickly you exploded in your success, a year and a half or something like that is what you said, and to be able to be But it wasn't about, you don't choose the people who follow you on Twitter. So that's a little bit different than some of these things that I'm talking about, as far as like creating a sounding board of people around you, or an echo chamber. And I don't necessarily think that there's anything wrong with that idea. I think that we have to practice our ideas in front of people who understand them and who will question them, just as much as we need to practice them in front of people who don't.
Yeah, and consider, say, your typical left-leaning, status progressive, whatever. They can go through 13 years of public schools, never have their beliefs challenged, right?
Mm.
They can go through 4 years undergrad college, never have their beliefs challenged. Definitely go through any higher-up degrees, never have their beliefs challenged. Watch the daily news, never have – so – you know, that's something I think that we as libertarians have a benefit from sharpening our ideas, because our ideas, we're confronted every day with challenges to our ideas, with opposing viewpoints to our ideas, I should say. I mean, it's all in the agenda of the corporate press. It's in academia. It's in the public schools. It's in water cooler talk, you know, just the average person. They tend to have this ingrained acceptance of the status quo of the government exists. And so the government is the best solution to all these problems and so forth. So, you know, we have this advantage because we are constantly bombarded with challenges and opposing viewpoints. And so when you do confront one of these progressive types with something that challenges their viewpoint, they often don't know how to react because they've never been challenged. They can, and they are offended almost that someone could possibly believe something different. You know, in their mind, they're like, well, this is what everyone believes, right? This is what normal people, decent people believe. And then when someone comes and challenges them, their head kind of explodes. And so that's why, you know, some of the response that I'll get is not any sort of reasoned, some of the opposition I'll get is not some sort of reasoned argument. It's just mostly like, well, you know, screw you. You just love corporations. You know, you're just cozying up to billionaires. I'm like, why would I cozy up to billionaires? What am I getting out of it? You know, it's just nonsensical because in their mind, it just doesn't compute that anyone could think differently than them.
That's right. And it does come to not having their ideas, their views challenged. And then, of course, we suffer from the same problem on the other side of that, is because we constantly are having our views challenged. We almost have our sort of innate responses. And it's one of the things that I'm trying to get people away from. I want them to be more principled in their arguments across the board. It doesn't matter what the conversation is. I don't care if it's a political conversation, or if it's an economic conversation, or if it's a social conversation about football, or about what you like or what you don't like, or about the latest cartoon series, or what the creator of the cartoon series did 20 years ago that may or may not have offended your senses. Can we just not have a conversation that the answers are ignored, that there just is another question, that the bar just doesn't get raised to the – can we ever come to a resolve at some point? Does there ever seem – will government ever get us to a resolve? I think they think that it will. And yet there's no evidence whatsoever to suggest that it – it's a weird thing when people say that because of the people who don't vote – that's why we have the people who are elected. But that's not true. It's because of the people who voted that we have the people who were elected. And the people who voted aren't significantly different from the people who didn't vote in any sense, because we're all taken from the same general voting pool. So the idea that increasing the number of voters, if you just get out the vote, if you just vote harder, if you just vote or die, whatever the phrase of the week is, if you just do that, if everybody just votes, things will get better.
Yeah. Yeah, it's amazing. And here's the thing too, you know, these progressive elitists, they've really shown themselves what they think of the working class lately, you know, tying them in with Trump supporters. And so you know, they're portraying a significant portion of the country as being white supremacist, science denying, you know, Hicks, backward Hicks or what have you. And then on the next breath, they'll say, yeah, we need more people to go out and vote. You know, so you want all these backward science denying people to be controlling democracy and making, you know, having the ability to vote away your rights or vote for leaders that are going to make rules that control your life.
I constantly tell people when they say I should vote, I say, why do you want me to vote? Because first of all, I'm probably not going to vote the way you think I'm going to vote. I'm probably not voting for you. You know, I'm probably not voting for the things you want because, well, I'm a contrarian. Most times I'm just going to vote the opposite of what everybody else is voting just to be different from everybody else. But because what it really comes down to, and this is what gets me on that, just increase the number of people who vote. Well, that doesn't increase the voting pool because it doesn't increase the intelligence of the voting pool. It's still the same people. It's like the flat Earth thing. To me, flat Earth is such an easily dismissed idea simply by observation and my own acceptance of relative size and distance. I understand that I am so small that I can't tell the difference with my visual acuity, you know, where the horizon begins and ends, if it slopes off, and things like that. I understand just that much about the math and the science of what they're trying to tell me, aside from the, you know, the obvious observations, that I get it. And so I've been working on this theory for a long time that people don't understand a lot of the world because they don't just get simple numbers and math. They don't get simple economics. So of course they can't get that because they can't get simple math. They don't get 2 + 2, especially if you make it 2 × 2 + 2. Now all of a sudden they're confused because they've been told one thing from a system, and we're talking about the same system again, this public system, this government system, that they need to remember a cute little word like PEMDAS or bottoms. And so they remember, please excuse my dear Aunt Sally. But they don't know what the hell it means to actually solve the problem. They'll tell you over and over again, and so they'll get the same answer, and I've tested this theory. This is why I know this. And I wish I could get a real math professor to argue it out with me, that it's a failure of socialized public school system, ultimately, is what it is, and all of these socialist ideas and the things that they're programmed. It's a total indictment of the whole idea of the government being responsible for education or anything at that level when they don't understand something as simple as when they've even given a mnemonic for how to work it. They don't understand what it actually means. They take it literally. And then they'll argue, well, you tricked me. I get this. They actually say, well, you tricked me, or you're showing off when I explain that you can't possibly have the same answer for 2 × 2 + 2 as 2 × 2. If you get the same answer, and a lot of people do because they don't understand it, that you've done something wrong. I'm not trying to trick you. I'm not trying to make you wrong or to prove I'm smarter than you. And so I'm trying to apply this math theory and this understanding of math and this failure of people to understand math into communications and how we as libertarians can do exactly what you do with math. The whole point of math is reduction. You're trying to go from two things to one thing. You know, 2 + 2 = 4. You went from two things to one thing. You know, 2 minus two is zero. It's you went from two products to one product, you know. So it's reduction. And I think that we can take all of our arguments and reduce them into palpable ideas. And I think you've done that real well with the book of tweets so far is what I'm reading out of it. We're slipping into a break. We'll come right back and we'll wrap it up with Bradley Thomas.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. While we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country, here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
You're listening to Toward Anarchy with Michael Storm.
You gotta be kidding me. I mean, we're literally just talking about this stuff, and it doesn't matter what the conversation is. This conversation had nothing to do with racism, and the guy says it's racist BS. And I said, what does race have to do with this conversation? There's no one of any there are no POCs involved in this conversation or this topic. And I'm told that because the individual is a Trump supporter, which is unknown, it's not proven fact, that means that they are racist, period. F them all. And being against BLM makes you a racist POS, period. So that's the type of conversations they're having. That's not even in a place where he couldn't just actually explain to me how it's racist, where he doesn't have the space or the time to. I mean, he took the time to tell me I'm a racist POS, and he doesn't even know me. But he didn't take the time to point out exactly how racism actually applies here, except that he might be a voter for Trump.
Yeah, that's too much. That's just too much of that out there, that level of argumentation. And again, it gets back kind of the tribalism. It gets back to folks that have never had their beliefs challenged, and they can't accept that someone could possibly think differently than them. And so they have to ascribe some sort of sinister motivation to them, like racism.
Yeah, and that's it. It's always one word, isn't it? Racist, fascist. Trumper. So whatever it is. And then, of course, at first I'm thinking he calls me a Trump supporter, but I have to reread that. No. He's not calling me a Trump supporter. Because you are definitely way off if you think I'm a Trump supporter. It's so unfortunate, but I think it's great because I think that people like yourself, you're obviously huge. To hit 10,000 people on Twitter in a year, just telling the truth, and to not get banned. That alone is an amazing feat.
Yeah, I'm almost disappointed in myself for that. I'm not trying hard enough, I guess. But
it proves that you're making arguments and that you're not arguing with people. And that's something that I think our emotional arguments lend themselves to. We know this stuff so good. We just want people to get it. We just want them to understand. We understood it like that, it seems like, for some of us. But the reality is that it's not that way, especially as you get – I mean, there's a – I don't know. There's a gap. There's a learning gap in there. Whereas children, you can – they're impressionable. If you're raising children, you can probably raise them with some pretty good ideas if you influence them with our ideas every single day, just living it. And on the other end of that, exactly the same. But somewhere in the middle, people become unteachable. And if they don't become unlearnable, if they don't learn to learn, if they don't expand their wisdom and their knowledge base during that period of time and really make an effort to strive to improve themselves through that period, I think they become old, angry, bitter, something I don't want to be.
Yeah, and I think one thing too that at least I try to emphasize is that a lot of these divisions in society, whether it be gender, race, ethnicity, whatever, is exacerbated and created by the state itself, because you have this system set up where a majority, the majority rule, can impose their preferences over everybody else. So what happens? You combine that with sort of a tribalism. And so there's going to be groups that are going to use the state as an instrument, if you will, to punish those that they don't like via, government force and their elected officials and various laws. And so, without the state, I think society can much further or can much more peacefully organize itself without all these antagonisms used by the blunt instrument of the state. So a lot of this division, I would argue, is created by the state itself.
Well, the state makes so many enemies for the people all over the place. It makes enemies of your neighbor. It makes enemies of the other politicians. It makes enemies of people across the other side of some imaginary line somewhere, even though they speak the same damn language we do, have the same basic tenets about life and morality and religion, even to some extent. Even as vast and different as that is in America, we still have this concept of Western religious morality, maybe tinged with some of the Eastern practices over time. But man, that music means that we've come to the end of another one. Thank you, Bradley Thomas, again so much, and I'll have you back again here real soon, and we'll talk about some more.
Yeah, I hope so. I really enjoyed it, Michael. Thank you.
Take care, my friend. We'll be right back on Toward Anarchy.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Extendovite really works. Here are some reviews from Amazon.com. Nikki, great product. Have to try it for a few months to see results. After taking Extendovite for about 6 months, I have noticed improvement on the numbness of my hands and wrists from carpal tunnel. I will continue to buy the product. Ken Peaks, 5 out of 5 stars. Works as advertised. This formula is very powerful. Be careful to follow directions. I am feeling much better. My heart rate and blood pressure has stabilized, and my lower edema has reduced. Lower leg pain due to blood clots has disappeared. Thank you. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
This is Toward Anarchy on the Republic Broadcasting Network, with your host Michael Storm.
archive, click 2020, click August 20, click August 30. There you go. And you're right where I'm at right now. And you will see Bradley Thomas was my guest, author of Tweeting Liberty, Libertarian Tweets to Smash Status and Socialists. I have his Twitter up there so that you can become one of his followers. And you can also support Bradley by buying the digital version of Tweeting Liberty, Libertarian Tweets to Smash Status and Socialists. So and spread that around. It's a good one, especially for you. You know what we're talking about here. We're talking about having this conversation and about making our conversation better, about making our good music to riot by. And Ministry makes some good music to riot by. Absolutely true. So I'm happy this week because the camera is much better. I knew that there was problems with the one last week, but it shouldn't have been as big of a deal as it was. But between crappy program and crappy camera, you have a crappy performance, or at least presentation. But it wasn't terrible because Tanner Cook's video was just fine, so that was great. And you don't need to see me anyway. But there was stuff like I was showing off some of my things last week, and there was no way that you could actually even tell from the video any of the stuff that I was showing off or anything. I mean, you heard the guitar, so I guess that's not. But you never get to see it. You don't get to see how cool it is. You don't get to see. You didn't get to see. Yeah, we got to see the submarine. But it wasn't even that great of a picture. I mean, it's a bright yellow, cool toy. And you could see some of the detail on it if you look at it, if the camera had been of quality and not blown out. There you go. Doesn't want to focus in on it properly, it seemed like. Yeah, it's a much, much better picture if you're looking at it. It's a Lego yellow submarine and all the Beatles. I was going to put something up else over there in that spot. Like maybe the Ghostbusters car and the Ghostbusters. Whoops. It just killed the Beatles. Jesus. Yeah. There's not many of them left, are there? Are there any of them left? I don't even know. Is Ringo the only one left? That sounds right. Good old Ringo. See, it pays to be ugly. Paul's not dead yet? All right. I'm sorry, Paul. I didn't mean to bury you. You look it every time I see you. I'm sorry. I did not mean to bury you yet. No disrespect, my friend. I love your music. Well, okay. I love your Beatles music. We'll flip some coin. We can argue over some of that later stuff. Some of that stuff wasn't as great. Some of it was. Band on the Run, that was kind of a fun song. But that was about it. Not much more after that. There's the katana. Full tang. See, that was something that you couldn't see last time. Is that it? What I mean by that, if you don't know anything about swords or knives, is that they're only as strong as the handle on them when it comes down to it. And so you need a solid piece of steel. And then this, most of your decorative swords don't have a full tang. They don't have a solid blade to the handle configuration. This one does. It's actually made to be used. Kind of. Kind of. I mean, what are you going to use it for? You bring a sword to a gunfight? There are worse weapons that you can bring to a gunfight. The meme that I shared this week was pretty cool. It's telling of what's happening right now, and it makes you think that, gee, maybe some of it's done on purpose. When the wealthiest billionaires from March 18 of this year up to recent, it's during this pandemic. This is a problem. It's just a screenshot of it. The source is Forbes, but it's talking about how Bezos has made $76 billion. Now, that may not, he's a billionaire, and so maybe that doesn't seem like a big deal to you. And this is supposedly just in pandemic time, over this 6 months or whatever it's been.
His wealth before that, he was worth $113 billion before that. So now he's worth $189 billion. That's $76 billion. He almost 30% increase, 33% increase or so, somewhere in there around, without trying to actually sit there and do all the math. You know, take, okay, Mark Zuckerberg, $55 billion going in, $97 billion, basically doubled his wealth in this period. This is this idea that times like these make paupers and millionaires and billionaires and rich people. And it's all about what you're doing. In this case, these guys are already so far ahead that it's so easy for them to make money. But I've been talking about it during the pandemic, about the idea how the collectibles market, you know, I have comic books. You can't see them behind me now. Now I have a sign behind me that says stop, no entry, trespassers will be violated, survivors will be prosecuted. It shows a pistol, they will be violated. It's a neat little sign that a friend of mine in Colorado made. I don't know if they still make them. It's fence post signs. I don't know if they still make them or not, because this has been 19 years ago. I didn't go look. I pulled this out of some stuff that I was going through the garage, and I pulled this out and set it aside to make sure that I could set it up here in the studio. It's not in its permanent place. It's just kind of sitting back there. The comic books are gone. I sent them off to be graded because of the fact that this market that I'm talking about, and this ability to make money in times when things are in upheaval, markets are in upheaval, and things are weird and different, and that's what's going on now. And so I've taken my books behind me were books out of my personal collection, but then I have books that I buy to sell, investments. And so I took a number of those, including my own, some of my own, a couple of my favorites that I want protected for the rest of their existence, and sent them off to be graded and then encased in plastic. They call it slabbed. And then they'll be protected. And then I can display them without worrying about them being damaged and they'll just be protected, and it increases their value. What happens is a raw book, a book that isn't put in a slab, is worth, you know, X amount of dollars. It's a $10 book. You wouldn't generally grade a $10 book, except for if you know that that $10 book is going to be a high grade, and you can actually get them pre-graded for an extra fee. If you want to pay a little bit more, you can get pretty graded. And if the grade comes out 9.8 or higher, you can expect 10 times or more for your money pretty easily, just on face value, but just about any book. It doesn't even matter. It's pretty crazy. I have a book that I bought for $3.99 in 2017, part of a series that's popular again. Now they've had the characters around, but they started doing a new series about it, and so it revived it and has created some new characters. And I picked up that again, the same book out of this series that is going to, not the same book, but the book that will behave the same. And I know this because I've spent years doing this, collecting these books. The problem is that it doesn't come along this easily that often. But I bought that book for $3.99 years ago, and I never read it. I didn't read it because I knew that the character that was on the cover of it, that it was his first appearance, and that it was a big deal, and that we'd become a big character. And he did. It's one of the most popular characters right now. It's called the Batman Who Laughs, and he's like a gothic, maniacal cross between Batman and the Joker from a different timeline. And he's huge, huge. And this year they created the Robin King, which is the Robin version of a maniacal character cross between himself and what I think looked like Ozzy Osbourne on the cover of why can't I remember it off the top of my head? Off the cover of one of the Osbourne albums from the 80s, Diary of a Madman, that's it, where he's kind of bloody and in rags and stuff. The Robin King cover of this book, this other book that I recently picked up that will do this same thing. But that that book is going to come back. I hope it comes back even higher, but it'll come back a 9.8, and I will sell that book for $1,000. It just doesn't happen often enough, and unfortunately, I didn't grab 15 copies of it at the time. But they all don't grade like that, and that's the gamble of it. It has to, and it's a scale of 100, so 98, basically 9.8. Scale of 10, which you do it in points, 1 point, 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 point. Obviously, if it's a 9.8, they're doing the points. So it's a scale of 100. And to get up that high to 98% perfect book is pretty amazing. And right now, they're just hot. Anything that's 9.8, there's so much stuff out of from my youth when I was 10, 13, 16, all that stuff right now is super, super hot. They're key books, and it's because the people who are reading those are coming up now, and they're influencing Hollywood and pop culture and things like that. And I've watched it happen over my whole life, and unfortunately, in all the years and all the thousands of comic books that I've owned, I've only ever owned a handful that were ever like that you could ever expect them to experience any kind of growth like that. And to get the older stuff, things, it's ridiculously expensive. I was looking the other day, to give you an example, Action Comics number 4, a single page from Action Comics number 4, no grade, it's just encased so that it's protected. And it's encased officially at that, so it's one of the grading companies. But it comes back no grade. It's a zero grade because it's just a page. $500. Just one page of one comic book from 1938, I guess. It's just insane, crazy. Madness, but that, that's Superman. He only comes along once in a lifetime. Even since him, the ones that have come along don't command what he commands. Even the Batmans or the Spider-Mans or the Wolverines or any of those. Talk about Wolverine, one of the most popular characters over the last 10, 20 years for sure. He's still within my reach as far as being able to buy his first appearance. I can go for about $700 and buy a first appearance. Not a very good graded one, but I actually know somebody who owns a graded one. I've been working on a deal with him, and I'm waiting for this batch of my books to come back because I graded the cameo appearance, which isn't as valuable, but it's still very highly valuable, and he doesn't have it, so I'm trading it. And so hopefully I'll have my true first appearance of Wolverine, but that's still reachable in my time. And yet Wolverine is a far more popular character today than Superman ever was, except for maybe in that stretch in there in the 70s with the original Christopher Reeve. You can actually find this stuff if you're a comic book geek. It's actually kind of cool. They've kept records, just like Billboard has kept records of music and stuff. They've kept records of the comic books and the popularity of them, and you can tell how many have come out over the years. And it's actually great for somebody who's trying to invest in something like that. And if you're a geek and you're not investing in comic books, it's definitely a viable place to invest for sure. I told you that I'd talk about Birds of Prey. I watch it for the first time. It's one of these movies. I haven't been happy with the DC stuff. DC has been really just kind of in the movies. Some of them are better than others. Most of the Batman stuff is pretty good. The Superman stuff has been at best. And the mix of them Justice League, Batman versus Superman, Superman versus Batman, whichever one it is. They're just okay. They're just fine. And I don't have any problems. I'm not one of those haters on the Ben Affleck or any of that. I appreciate them all for what they do and what they lend to the character. Generally speaking, I'm going with my prejudices in those places. Always when I go in to be entertained, I try to set aside those prejudices and give my entertainment the best shot at it actually entertaining me as opposed to upsetting me. Like one of the things that's come along here, DC's kicking themselves. They're dying, as it were, or catching up with the times. The times are catching up with them. They announced that their own channel, they started their own DC network or whatever, like all these guys do. WWE has done it. They start their own television network and air their own shows and took all their shows off of all these other places and started airing them. And it lasted about a year. If you were like me, you knew that this would last about a year if they were lucky. But they're also crushing political. One of the most ridiculous things that's happened here lately, and just in geekdom, is Dungeons and Dragons released a new book, or is about to release a new book, that recreates the character system and takes out racial benefits. And this is just ridiculous, because we're not talking about white people versus black people. We're not talking about black people versus Mexicans. We're not talking about Chinese versus Americans. That's not what's happening in Dungeons and Dragons. That's not what's happening in race. We're talking about giant creatures that are half dragon or half bear or half orc or all orc or something like that. We're talking about things that completely made up and different race. And so it's ridiculous that they've gone and removed racial benefits, bonuses that were given to characters. Just to make the game more playable. We'll be right back.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Extendovite really works. Here are some reviews from Amazon.com. John Hess, 5 out of 5 stars. Awesome. Probably my only review, but at age 40, I was getting bad heart throb and left arm pain, mainly before bed. I even stopped smoking and drinking sodas for a month, and that didn't work. After one day of taking Extendivite, it was gone and hasn't returned in 3 years. I've ordered Extendivite 13 times, so Amazon just said. Juliet Hordick. I've ordered this product before in liquid form. It is fantastic. My whole family's been on it. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Is your property a financial burden and causing you grief? Have you tried to sell but can't find buyers? Or are you just too busy to sell your property? Don't worry. We have the right solution for you. We buy properties as is, with cash, close in 30 days, and pay all closing costs. Our service is ideal for property owners who are in pre-foreclosure, have high-end repair costs, experiencing financial hardship, going through costly divorces, are relocating, need cash for retirement, suffering family loss, or have tax liens. Whatever your situation may be, we can help you sell your property and get the money you need. If you own a single-family home or multiple family units, call us for a free consultation at 888-910-1037. That's 888-910-1037. Or visit our website at cashingproperty.com. That's cashingproperty.com. Sell your property fast and leave all your worries behind.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company, and it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks?
When pigs fly!
The new EaseOff Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The EaseOff lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive. Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the EaseOff? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com, EazeOff.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new Easy 4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. EaseOff LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
We want information. Information. Information.
Who are you?
The new number 2.
Who is number 1?
You are number 6.
I am not a number. I am a free man.
You're listening to Toward Anarchy with Michael Storm.
It out, cut it from the video because I have to cut all of the music. But I was jamming away, I was rocking. That's just such a great drum beat coming in from there. It's just, I love something. I have to get myself a new digital drum set. I got just something I need to have. I've been wanting one for so long, and it's just way down on the list of things that I need. Way up on the list of things that I want. Way down on the bottom of the list of things that I actually need. TowardAnarchy.com. I can't tell you who's coming up next week. It's a surprise. It's a surprise because I don't know. I didn't book anybody yet. So I will surprise myself by choosing someone to have a conversation with next week. And maybe, just maybe, it'll be another one of these honest conversations. I don't know. I go into every single conversation hoping that it's going to be a good conversation, that the people on the other end of the conversation are going to be as excited about possibly learning something new or being exposed to a different idea as I potentially am. It rarely happens, unfortunately, because what happens is that even when the best of them make an argument, it's an argument that I've heard before. It can be easily dismissed by math, science, history. These things generally seem to apply across the board, because they're all part of our reality, and they build up a big story about who and what and where we are at this point in time, and to ignore it is to do so at your own peril, to not understand where we are at this point in history, to still be arguing left versus right, to still pretend that there is any semblance of what was supposed to be a republic, let alone your democracy that's crept in and snaked its way in. And into the idea of to give lend any credence to the idea that it's okay for the majority to tell the minority what to do, and it doesn't work if it's 51 telling 49, and it sure as hell doesn't work if it's 99 telling 1. I mean, first of all, the 1 doesn't pose any threat to the 99. And so, I mean, if it did, that's different. But it's just being. It's just wanting to be who it is and you letting it be. Maybe I'm being too philosophical. And maybe it's the end of the show and we should just say goodnight and take care. And I'll see you again next week right here on Toward Anarchy. We'll be right back.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
This is RBN.